Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Job. The Old Testament book of Job and chapter number 16. The Old Testament book of Job and chapter number 16. As we come to the book of Job, we understand that Job is going through some of the hardest times in his life, that he has lost all of his finances, he's lost all of his possessions, he's lost his children, he's lost his health. And now to top it off, he has three friends and one preacher boy come up with the purpose of trying to convince him that he needs to get right with God. And they go through rounds of conversations, round and around, back and forth, and Job's trying to plead with him, trying to say, as much as I know how, I'm as right with God as possible. Whereas Job's friends are pressing the point, and they're pressing harder. Now as we come to the second discourse, that the first round of conversation, they've been just lightly talking. And now in the second discourse, they are pressing harder. That Job, that God is not an evil God. If you would just get right, all of this would go away. Just get right. And Job is getting more and more miserable by his friends, because instead of making them feel better, they're just making them more miserable. And so let's pick it up and let's see what is occurring in the book of Job chapter 16. Job 16, and if you don't mind, notice with me, let's just start in verse number 19. Notice with me in Job 16 and verse 19. Also now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Job, chapter 16? Job 16, and notice with me in verse 19, notice this phrase, my witness is in heaven. My witness is in heaven. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to preach a message about Jesus, our witness. Jesus, our witness. And if you don't mind, let's come to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come up to you, we're just asking that you would just give us wisdom, give us discernment, and give us the encouragement that comes knowing that you're up on high, that you are our witness. You are the one who sees everything about our life. I'm asking that you would just be an encouragement to us in a special way tonight, knowing that you are a good God who loves us very much and not leaving us out to suffer on our own, that you see every aspect of our life. I'm asking that you would fill me with your precious spirit for the purpose of you comforting and encouraging your folks here tonight. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, once again, as I just said, that the first round of speeches between Job and his three friends have come and gone. Now the second set of speeches have come, and his friends have put in a full court press. They are putting the pressure on Job. Now, to be fair, his friends honestly think they are helping Job. In their mind, they are saying God is not unrighteous. God would not allow bad things to happen for no reason. By the way, that's true. There's always a reason. However, in their minds, they believe that the only reason why bad things occur is because of punishment for sin. However, we know that is not true. There's at least six or seven different reasons why bad things happen according to the scriptures. Some of it is sometimes to make us stronger spiritually. Some of it is to make us more like Christ. Some of it is because of consequences. And there's several different reasons, but not all of it is because of punishment for sin. And as Job is talking with his friends, they're putting the pressure on and saying, how dare you, Job, accuse God of being evil? And Job said, I'm not saying God is evil, but I am saying that I'm as right with God as possible. And notice his frustration as we look in Job chapter 16. Notice with me in verse number 1. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Have you ever had a miserable comforter? Have you had that friend who decided they were going to help you out by making you miserable? By deciding to point out all the things that are going wrong and how it's your fault? Well, they're not helping any. They're not pointing them to the Lord. They're trying to dig in and trying to say what he's doing wrong. And he's miserable now because they're trying to do everything they can to get him to confess. Confess. You can almost imagine him getting put in a desk and they have a bright light shining his eye and say, confess, confess. Well, it's not an inquisition. And he says, miserable comforters you are. You said you're here to make me feel better. You're failing. You're not doing your job. You're making things worse. Stop. Just stop. Notice with me in verse 3. Shall vain words, that word vain means empty. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeth thee that thou answereth? He says, when are these empty words going to stop? How many times are going to tell you it's not because of sin? If it was sin, I would tell you. I would get right. But as far as I know, I'm as right with God as I possibly can. In fact, he repeats that same sentiment in verse 17. Not for any injustice in mine hands. Also, my prayer is pure. This carries the idea that Job is saying that it's not that I'm not a sinner. It's right now, I'm as right with God as I know how to be. By the way, God gives that testimony of Job in chapter 1 and in chapter 2. But Job is kind of saying, all right, I've already defended myself. I've already said that. Why do you keep going on with this conversation? It almost reminds me, now Job can't move, but have you ever been in an argument with someone and you walk away and they follow you? And that no matter where you go, they keep it on. And you're walking away because there's no more conversation. There's no more answer. It's not going to get any better. You're walking away to get peace. And they're following you, talking the whole time. You know, when you go into the bathroom and they're still talking to you through the door. You go to your bedroom and you shut it and they're following you still. And you're like, how long does this go on? I need some peace. I need a break. It's not helping. Just shut up. Quiet. Leave me alone. Stop. Stop. Have you ever had a miserable comforter like that? I mean, that's not fun, is it? It doesn't help things when someone's on the full court press and you are upset. You're not feeling good and they're pressuring you anyways. Finally, Job gets so upset and he gets to the place he says, I just wish. Notice what he wishes in verse number 9. Also now, behold, my witness is in heaven and my record is on high. Job finally says, guess what? My witness is up in heaven. This word witness is a great word. It means someone who sees everything. It's someone who sees everything. Do you know that there's a God up in heaven who sees everything? There's a God who was looking down at Job, and Job says, I wish I could put him on record right now. There's a God up in heaven who was watching me, and he would tell you that I'm as right with God as I possibly can. Now, I know I'm a sinner, but I'm as right with God as I possibly can. There is a witness. My witness is in heaven. God sees everything, and my record is on high. I mean, God's keeping records. He keeps track. There's an account that has to be given. I know that right now I'm as right with God as I possibly can. You know, again, to be fair to Job's friends honestly thought they were trying to help Job. And that if they could just get Job to confess, that Job would be better. They honestly thought that. But the problem with Job's friends is that they did not have all of the information. You know, we do live in a judgy world. Now, I know that people throw out that word judge too often and put it out of context. But you know, we live in a world that has no problems looking down their noses at people. And there are some people that because of pride that sometimes we fall in that category, that we feel like we're more righteous than someone. And so we look down at our noses, or they do that to us. It's not right, but it happens. Have you ever been accused of something? Have you ever been not accused of something? Have you been told that you don't work enough or you don't do this enough? And you're saying, finally get to the place where at least God knows what's going on. God knows what's happening. God sees it. My record's up on high. Jesus is my witness. He sees everything. And that's what Job's telling his friends. Hey, you know, you could put the full court press, but honestly, this is between me and the Lord. He sees everything. He knows what's going on. He knows why this is happening. He sees my righteousness. He sees my record. He sees it all. Notice with me in verse number 20. My friends scorn me, but my eye poureth out tears unto God. He's got to the place where they're crying. He says, if only someone would plead to God. Only someone would talk to God. It's if only someone could say God and let God point out to these folks what is really happening. They brought him to the place of tears that Job is sitting before his friends. And he says, guys, why do you hate me so much? Just stop. And he's crying and he's saying, I'm trying to tell you I'm as right with God as I know how to be. God knows my heart. God knows my life. He sees it and he's crying. Notice verse 21. Oh, that one might plead for man with God as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. He gets a place and he's saying, oh, if only someone would plead with God. If only someone would get to the place where they're telling God what's going on. By the way, there is someone who's telling God what's going on, and that's Jesus, who maketh intercession for us. He is the faithful witness. He's the one that sees everything about our life. He sees everything that we do, and he's the one who gives a faithful account to the Lord about what happens in our life. And so as Job is talking to his friends, and his friends are putting on the full court press, his only recourse is saying, oh God, you know what's going on. God, you see my life. You see what's occurring. You see what needs to be fixed. You see what's where things are at. I'm pleading on you that these people are no longer listening to me. At least I could go to you and I know that you know, that you see. Have you ever been to the place where Job is at? Have you ever been at the place where it seems like everyone around you is given the full court press? Where it seems like everyone's looking down their nose at you? And by the way, sometimes this is real and sometimes it's imagined. Sometimes we get in hyper paranoia that we just, everyone's looking at me. They're all seeing me. They're all judging me. Sometimes that's imagined. But it doesn't stop the feeling. I understand that. That even if not everyone's judging you, if you feel like everyone's judging you, it still affects you quite a bit. And so he's in the spotlight. He feels like everyone's staring at him. He feels like everyone's looking at him. And everyone's telling him what a failure he is. How he's messed up. How everything's going. And he says, I have a witness. I have a record. I have someone who's talking to God. I have someone who's seeing what is going on. And his friends, they were miserable comforters. But I want to give you some encouragement tonight, dear friend. There is a faithful witness up in heaven. And so as Job is saying, oh, that one might plead with me. He says, oh, my witness is in heaven. Let's examine the witness that we have in heaven. And so if you don't mind, take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter number 1. The book of Revelation and chapter number 1. Remember, through this series of Job, that what we're doing is we're looking at Job's statements. We're looking at his questions. We're looking at this. And then we're showing how Jesus is the answer. That Jesus is the answer to all of Job's questions, to all of Job's statements. That everything that Job is going through, it is Jesus who is his answer. And so let's learn more about our Jesus and let's see what he sees. Look with me in the book of Revelation chapter number 1. The book of Revelation chapter 1. Now remember, we've already defined that word witness. The word witness is someone who sees everything. Someone who sees what's going on. And Jesus is our witness. The book of Revelation chapter 1. And notice with me verse 5. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Notice that again in verse 5, that Jesus is the faithful witness. He is the one who sees everything. He is the one who keeps an account. He is the one that maketh intercession to the Lord. He is the one who watches everything of your life. And what's so wonderful about this book is that Jesus is called the faithful witness. He's the one that sees everything. And then starting in chapter 2, that he begins to give an account of the churches in Asia, which we now know as Turkey. There are 7 churches, and he looks at each one of these churches and he evaluates. He lets them know that I know this. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark a phrase that we find in these next couple chapters saying, I know thy works. Now, this is meant to be an encouragement. However, it could also be convicting. You know, the idea that Jesus knows everything is a comforting thing and a frightful thing at the same time. It is comforting because he sees everything we do and he knows even the smallest things we do. It is a scary thing because he sees what we do or perhaps what we don't do for the Lord, and he witnesses all of this. So notice with me, if you don't mind, I'd like to show some of the things that Jesus knows about our works as he examines these local churches. Notice first of all, in chapter 2, verse 2, as we deal with the church of Ephesus, it says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say there are apostles and are not, and found them liars. So as he deals with the church of Ephesus, he says, I know thy works. He says, I know what you do, and I know about your labor. I know how hard you work. I know about your patience and how you are patient. I know how that you look at those that call themselves apostles, preachers, and you judge them by the Bible, and you point them out, those that are not teaching the Bible, you call them liars. He says, I know thy works. Notice the next church, chapter 2, verse number 9, as we deal with the church of Smyrna. Notice Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. I know thy works and thy tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but of the synagogue of Satan. Notice this in Smyrna. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. You know, Jesus sees everything. And if the church of Ephesus, hey, I see your works. I know thy works. I know about your labor. I know about your patience. The church of Smyrna, I know thy works. I know your tribulations. And I know your poverty. You know, God knows how much we have in the bank. He knows how much is in your piggy bank. He knows how much is up here. God knows our poverty. He knows how much money we have. He sees the tribulation. He sees the things we go through. I know thy works. Notice with me in the church of Pergamos in chapter 2, verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13, where he's dealing with the church of Pergamos. I know thy works and where thou dwellest. Even where Satan's seat is, that thou holdest fast my name and has not denied my faith. Even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Now here it deals the idea of a contrast. He says, I know thy works and I know where you dwell. And he says, by the way, I also know where Satan dwells. I see where you are at the same time. I know where you're dwelling at. I know where you're abiding at. I see where you go. I see where you live at. I know thy works. So God knows our works. He sees everything about us, our works, our patience, our tribulations. He knows where you live. He knows what's in your house. He knows your poverty. Notice, if you don't mind, in chapter 2 and verse number 19, as we go to the next church, the church of Thyatira. The church of Thyatira, notice what he says in verse 19. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and patience and thy works. Notice he says, I know thy works twice, and the last to be more than the first. Thyatira, he says, I know your works. I know your charity. I know your love towards others. I know your service. I know your patience, and I know your works. And I know the works that you do is even more than the first works. I see the works you do at church. I see the works you do at home. I see the works that no one else sees you do. I see when you pick up that little piece of paper that's in the church that everyone else walked over. I see it when you put a little smile on your face. I see it when you go pick up the trash that's outside here. I see what you do or what you don't do. I see the things, the little things that you do, as well as the big things that you do. I know thy works. Notice, if you don't mind, in chapter 3 and verse 1, we come to the church of Sardis. And notice what Jesus knows about them. Notice with me in chapter 3, verse 1. And to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, and that thou hast a name that liveth and art dead. And so he goes through and he tells them, this church, I know thy works. I see what you do. I see what is happening. I know thy works. Notice, if you don't mind, in the next church in chapter 3, verse 8, we see the church of Philadelphia. And verse chapter 3, verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast little strength, and has kept my word, and has not denied my name. Here again he says, I know thy works. I know what's happening. I could see the open doors I put before you, and you haven't gone through, or you have gone through there. I could see the shut doors, the things that keep you from pressing forward. I know what allows you to move forward. I see what hinders you. I know the state that you're in. I know thy works. If you don't mind, look at the last church, the church of Laodicea, chapter 3, verse 15. Notice this. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. He says, I know thy works. And I know whether you're warm, I know whether you're hot. I know whether when you do the works, if you're excited about it, or if you're doing it just because you have to. I know thy works. You understand, we have a witness up in heaven who knows everything about us. He is keeping record up in high. He is our faithful witness who observes this. Now, because of this, if you don't mind, may I make a couple of comments dealing with the idea of what God sees, that he knows our works. If you don't mind, as we just observe from the seven churches of Revelation, that let's just put this together and let's just put it something practical, something to help us. Because of what we just observed, knowing that we have a witness up in heaven, knowing our record is up on high, what's some things that we could apply to our life knowing this? First of all, we know this, that he knows what we are doing. He knows what we are doing. Sometimes it seems that what we do doesn't really matter. You may leave a track on someone's door and says, well, that's no big deal. No one's ever seen when it's going to happen. This is not a big deal. But God sees you leave that track. God sees what you do. He sees the little things that you put in order. He knows everything that you do. That song, Little Is Much When God Is In It, is a powerful song, because it's not just talking about the little amount that we have. It's talking about the little service that we do, the little things that we do. He keeps track of it. He observes it. He watches it. He sees what we do. You may think that the place that you do, the place that you serve, the ministry that you have, the thing that he has given you may seem so small. It may seem so petty. But little is much when God is in it. God knows where you're at. He knows where you labor. He sees what you do. And he knows the impact it will make, even if you don't see what happens to it. It all matters to him, and he is keeping track of it. That there is nothing too small that God does not notice. To put your track inside of a bill and say, no one will ever know. God knows, and he knows what he's doing. As we're in a campaign to pass out another 10,000 John and Romans, and we put so many on doors and say, does it really matter? He watches. He knows. He knows thy labor. He knows thy work. He sees what we do. He sees the effort that we put in. And then even if no one else gives us accolades, no one else applauds us, he knows. He knows. God sees what we do and he acknowledges it. I know thy works. A second practical thing that we could pull from here is not only does he know what we're doing, but guess what? He can help guide our work. He can help guide our work. As he went through the churches of Revelation, he was able to discern, hey, I know your works. He says, I know what's going well. I know what's not going well. I could see what's happening and I could see what's not happening. I could see the troubles you had, the tribulation. And then Jesus, as we go through the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, we didn't go through them all. But what he does is that he gives correction to those churches. He tells them what they're missing. For example, the very first church, he says, I know thy works. But he also says, I see that you lost your first love. You know, God knows where our heart's at. And he's able to say, hey, you're doing a good job. The first church he commended, they're doing everything right. But the heart was no longer in it. And he says, I know that you lost your first love. And I love you so much that I'm telling you that you need to get your first love back. Love me. Through each of these churches, he gives correction. And he encourages them and shows them what they can do to get things fixed, to get things right. He knows where you're at. And he's able to guide you. He's able to correct you. He's able to help in the work. He's able to give the correction so that way we can be our best for him. He just doesn't say, well, good luck and have your own. But we're able to go to him and say, what can I do better? What can I do to fix things? What can I do to change things? And he's able to guide us and to fix us if we're humble enough to allow him to guide us and direct us. He's able to guide us into the perfect work and the way that he wants us to do. A third thing that we understand through the book of Revelation, chapters 2 through 3, knowing that God is our perfect witness, knowing that our witness is on high, knowing our record is in heaven, knowing that he knows our work. A third practical idea that we understand is that we cannot do the work without him. We cannot do the work without him. The greatest thing about this is that it is not our work. Only God can do his work. All we are is instruments to be used of him. And that if we surrender ourselves, he will do his own work. And just use us as instruments. That's the greatest thing. It takes the pressure off of us, realizing that it is his work, not our work. That we're just joining, we're getting involved with what he is already desiring to get accomplished in this world. He knows our work. That we could rely on him, that he could get his own work done. That takes the pressure off because it is his work. He sees everything. He sees the little things we do. He sees the big things we do. He sees the things when we feel like we should get the applause, the pat in the back. We should get our names in the marquee. And it doesn't happen. He sees that. He notices every little thing we do. And he doesn't forget it. He acknowledges it. What a great comfort that is. For Job himself, as he's talking to his miserable comforters, as they're going to Job and say, Job, just get right. And he's saying, I got a witness on high. He knows my works. He sees what I do. He sees my heart. And by the way, God did, that God gave the testimony that Job was a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. God knew everything about Job, and God knows about you. And that if man doesn't believe you or man doesn't see you, God does. And he's the one that we're supposed to please anyways. Again, as we're going back to practicality, part of our problem is that we do so much for men's applause. We do so much because we want people to see me. Even the shyest of us want the pat in the back. Even the shyest of us want someone to point out that what we've done is good. But God sees it all. It's who are you trying to serve? Who are you trying to please? Is it worth it to serve God if no one ever knew you existed, is it still worth it? Who is it that our audience is? Who is it that we're trying to please? Who is it that we're trying to get the attention of? Who is it that we're trying to get the applause of? That one day, if we serve the Lord as we ought, He will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And it is on that day that statement will be worth more than any of the accolades, any of the awards we could ever get here on earth, that we've pleased our master. Jesus said, "I know thy works." Job says, "My witness is up on high. My record is in heaven." The comfort I want to give you here is that even if no one sees what you do, God knows. And by the way, as the convicting thing, God sees everything you do, and God knows. Can you trust Him? Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.